In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue with volume 18, December 20th, 1925. And this is the second paragraph. So Jesus just says that the graft between God and man was made by Jesus, he said, the eternal word. Now, he uses the eternal word for us to understand that he is still speaking. We have the gospels. We have everything that the church is based on, the tradition of the church. But he is the eternal word. He speaks. So he says, so after 4,000 years, when Adam had already passed into the thresholds of eternity, but in spite of this divine graft done by me with tears and sighs and unheard of pains, how many reduce themselves to the condition of Adam after sin by merely doing my divine will? So here Jesus is showing us that even though it's been 4,000 years since Adam and then Jesus came, and it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross, he said, with all that Jesus has done, people have reduced themselves to the condition of Adam after the sin. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, and this is why you have to remember when Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. He gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Peter walks on water, just like Jesus. And he becomes afraid and he starts to sink. And Jesus grabs him. He cries out to Jesus, save me, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs Peter, pulls him up, and he goes, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? Now, what does that mean? Jesus, the reason he came to earth was to redeem and to sanctify, to bring mankind back to where Adam was before the fall. And now it's 2,000 years later, and we have Louisa. This gift was given to Louisa. And what does Louisa do? She begins to live in the divine will. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. And our God is asking us, would you be willing to enter into this gift that I gave to Louisa, the gift that Adam had before the fall? So our Lord is looking at us, and he's saying, in spite of the divine graft done by me, Jesus, with tears and sighs and unheard of pains that Jesus and Mary went through, how many have reduced themselves to the condition of Adam after sin by merely doing my most holy divine will? And then he says this, and we meet people like this all the time. Others do not want to know about the divine will. Others are afraid. Well, what did St. Thomas Aquinas say about this? What did St. Francis say about this? Jesus says they don't want to know it. Others rebel against it. I don't care what Louisa said. I've had people say, we don't need another saint. We don't need another saint. Louisa La Santa. But Father Bucci says that Louisa is the saint of the divine will. She is the saint of the divine will. And as you read, see, our job is to read and to study. When Jesus is speaking to us, I mean, I don't know how many times where in reading the calendar, I can't go any further until I read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again. And what happens is it's like the doctors, you know, in the eye doctor. Do you see well now or now? Is this better or is this better? Look, Jesus is always refining our vision, our understanding of what he, the Lord God, is speaking to us about. We begin to hear clearly what Jesus is saying. 100 million years from now, if we read that same passage, it's even more spectacular. Because when Jesus speaks, it is an infinite gift. His word is unbelievable because he's speaking divine truths, divine realities that we little by little begin to embrace. So Jesus says, others don't want to know it. Others rebel against the divine will. And don't be surprised if even good people that you know, saintly people that you know, don't want to hear the divine will. I remember this one priest, he said, and this was 30 years ago, he said, I don't know. Now he's a voracious, he's eating this, he's devouring this. He says, there's nothing as beautiful as the divine will. It wasn't time for him to embrace it. What we've learned from the saints is like black and white, black and white movie. Everything is gray. Everything is there's no yellow. There's no red. There's no blue. There's no primary colors. There's no secondary colors. It's just everything is gray. It's beautiful, but it's gray. It's two dimensional. It's like a photograph. The divine will is technicolor. The divine will is three dimensional. And when Jesus starts speaking to us, the first thing we think is, well, I think Saint Paul said that. Yeah, it's the same as what Saint Paul says. But as we continue to read, that color blindness disappears and we begin to see technicolor. We begin to see all the colors and everything that Jesus says is so filled with light and life and love that we enter into this gift. And this is why it's so important to read every day. Jesus says, I want to find the souls who want this more than anything. And when you first read it, it's beautiful. When you read it the second, third, fourth, 100th time, it's spectacular. So Jesus says this, only the one, Luisa, and those linked to Luisa, who lives in my divine will rise again to the state of Adam innocent, who lived this life before falling into sin. And then he says this, in fact, there is a great distance between those who do my divine will and those who possess my divine will. Okay? What does that mean? Okay, to do the will of God, you are a servant. To live in the divine will, you become a son or a daughter. There's a vast difference. A servant lives in their own quarters and wait on the people who hired them. And this child, the son, the daughter, everything that's there is theirs. The whole palace is theirs. And Jesus says, I want you to return to being dressed in the royal garments of divinity. This is what the priest does every day when he puts the drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine in that chalice. And this is what our God is trying to tell us. I want you to return to that divine royalty that Adam had before the fall. So who comes? The Son of God comes. The Mother of God comes to earth to become our new Adam, our new Eve, so that as we embrace them, what happens is we begin to be filled with this possession of the divine will. He says, I, Jesus, coming upon the earth was to act as God. I, Jesus, was to complete the work of Adam in everything. I, Jesus, was to raise mankind back to the first point of his origin by giving him the possession of my divine will again, to give back to mankind what Adam lost. Jesus is the new Adam, and his throne is the cross. His throne is the cross. And if for the exaltation of the cross, September 14th, read what Jesus says to Luisa in volume one. It's unbelievable what God is promising us through the cross. And when we embrace this cross, good things, great things are happening. So Jesus says, I was to raise Adam to the first point of his origin by giving back to him the possession of my divine will. And even though many make use of my coming as a remedy for their salvation, therefore they take my holy divine will as medicine, as strength, as antidote in order not to go to hell, I, Jesus, still wait and wait that the souls may arise to take my divine will as their life, not as just medicine. So what does Jesus say? We have the sacraments and the sacramentals. This is what the saints have helped us understand. Jesus says now to us, I want you to begin to receive the sacrament of sacraments. And he says the sacrament of sacraments is the divine will. And he explains all that. It's just so amazing. He says, I wait for the souls that will arise who will take my divine will as life, making my divine will life, my divine will known in the book of heaven. They may take possession of my divine will. So what God, when it's your possession, it's yours. You can do with it as you wish, 30, 60, or 100 fold. So our God is saying, this is what I want. In this way, I, Jesus, will complete the work of my coming upon earth, and the divine graft formed anew with the soul, with mankind, will have fruit. What did he say to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Jesus says that the saints were like the flowers on the tree in the spring. Okay. This is the beauty. The fruit has begun. He says the children of the divine will be the fruit in the fall, will be the abundant fruit. Why does God want the fruit? There's more seed in those fruit. And what happens is more trees can be produced. More fruit can be harvested. And he's saying to us, he wants us to do that. He wants God to work in us, live in us, breathe in us. He says, I've given you your senses so that you will begin, you'll let God reign. God has to gaze in our gazing, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking, dance in our dancing, sing in our singing. God wants to reign on earth in us. That's why he created us. So he says, in this way, I, God, will complete the work of my coming upon earth. And the divine graft formed anew within mankind will have fruit. What does that mean? So that we can be like God, image and likeness of God. God is the creator, and what he wants us to do is to be like him. So he's given us our intellect, memory, and will, the three powers, and he's asking us, he's pleading with us, would you be willing to begin to live this abundant life so that the kingdom can be established even more beautifully than what I have originally planned? It's what I've given to mankind is so that it can be magnified. Our Lady says, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is what's coming. Then will my tears turn into celestial and divine smiles for me and for all of humanity. This is what God has planned. What a great God we have. He's given us the book of heaven. Read every day. And I've always mentioned that the best way I really believe is the calendar. To read every day. And as you enter into this, this gift, you don't have to say, for example, one day there's a few readings. The next day there's a lot of readings. You know, you just don't stop here. If I like to spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, every day, exposition. So that what is there are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I can read and look at him, listen to him as he's teaching me, as he's guiding me. And some days there's a paragraph to read. Next day there's a lot. So you can read, you can start the next day as well. And just use that hour to be with Jesus. And I can guarantee you there won't be many days where you might have to spend a little bit more than an hour with Jesus. So spend time with the Lord, read, study, put this into practice. He's got great things in store for us, and he needs us just to cooperate, just to say fiat. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.